Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Now I go to 857, which in my mind is the other local channel, 857.
Okay, I'm tracking.
And they get some, they have something else. They have a basketball game or a high, they have something else. They don't have the Wizards.
Right.
And now in full panic at 7:15 or 7:20, I call the Washington Post. And a guy says, this is Chris. Hey, it's Kornheiser. And I have no idea who Chris is. I have no idea. It's Kornheiser. Well, where is this game?
This is General George Washington, and you're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
All righty, then. We're live at Chatter at the corner of Wisconsin Avenue Northwest and Jennifer Street Northwest in Friendship Heights on a cloudy day with some drizzle. We are open for breakfast. You people need to find us. This is the money-making arm of this restaurant, is breakfast. Karen is here, and Karen needs customers.
Yes.
Fabulous Karen.
You like this show?
Yeah.
Coming to Chatter.
To be fair, there's still red tape outside the restaurant.
I know, so I think that people think that...
That might be a little discouraging. It does look like a crime scene.
But it's not... Well, it is that, but it's not closed. We're just trying to put new bricks in.
Not closed, like everyone says.
Gary Braun is here. Crystal Liz is here. Michael Kornheiser is here. Nigel's here to run the board and do the news. Some things have come in we want to talk about from Greg Orris or Horace in Somerville, South Carolina. My good friend and the godfather to my children, Jeremy Dunlop, turns 40 this coming Saturday, April 21st. Since Jeremy is the reason I became a little over a decade ago, I wanted to get him something special for the day he becomes a man. If you and the gang could sign the enclosed note, I would be grateful. And we have, of course, done that. We'll send that on its way. We have a note here from Jeremy Mandel in San Antonio. Longtime little, first-time sender of booze. I haven't had the opportunity to send quality tribute since you read my daughter's birth announcement 2 years ago, so I'm hopeful this will work. This is a private barrel of bourbon that some friends and I selected off the Four Roses Distillery last summer. Mm. It's uncut, so check out the proof and be careful. The proof is how much?
This is actually 58.95 ABV. Anyone want to take a stab at that math?
So the proof is about 118.
117.9.
It's about 118. I figured the wine tyrant may not be a whiskey drinker, so you may actually be able to drink this yourself. If bourbon isn't your thing, I'm sure Gary would enjoy, but feel free not to something on my app.
No.
I don't know what that means. Tell Chris that Netflix. Malibu doesn't do private bottlings, as far as I know, but the
as far
search
as
continues.
You know.
So this is very, very good stuff, right?
Looks good, yeah. Although this is the winner today.
What is this?
This is from Mark Schwab in Brentwood, Tennessee. And he says, at the intersection of high gravity beer and the afterglow of my pilgrimage to Chatter, you'll find the enclosed item for the prize closet or the trash. Yes, Dr. Tony, a commemorative Wilbon's chili plate. Admittedly, I was pretty bombed when I thought this was a good idea. My visit to Chatter was all I could have hoped for. Great service, awesome beer selection, even a tour of the studio. I left with zero ties and three $12 t-shirts. And yes, Chatter t-shirts are available for $12 for myself and fellow loyal littles, Logan and Emily Stanley. I hope to return soon. I've been little for 15 years in a very dumb way. I just wanted to show my gratitude. P.S. Liz Clark's sigh could launch 1,000 ships. Can you explain what happened here, Gary?
So this is a plate. Looks to be like maybe a 7-inch plate.
Lovely plate.
Ceramic plate. It looks like fine china. Made, in fact, in China.
Yeah.
And in
china.
The center of it is a picture. Well, it's kind of, I don't know how to describe it. It's built into the plate. So the center of the plate
chili.
Is a picture
of Wilbon's
looking
chili.
Down of a bowl of chili.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, the stand for which it would sit on was broken in transit. So
sure we can buy a stand.
This
is a nice piece of art.
This is very nice. We want to put this up on a wall someplace.
Yeah. I mean, sure. You could just take a big nail and smash it through into
or throw
the wall.
throw it against the exposed brick and
no
see what happens.
Do that. So Nigel, very happy today. Nigel's going to publish his book. Is it Salty the Sea Cat?
Simon.
The Sea Cat. Oh, wait, it should have been Salty the Sea Cat.
Well, yeah.
Simon the Sea Cat.
His name was Salty, though. It's a true story.
Can you tell us a little bit about this book?
Oh, yeah. It's based on a true story of a cat named Simon who was on he was found on the streets of Hong Kong when he was about 1 year old, and went aboard this ship. The ship was caught up in this, it was called the Amethyst, was the ship, and it was caught up in this incident.
A British ship, correct?
Yeah, British ship, yep. HMS Amethyst. And in the course of this attack by the communist Chinese.
How long ago was this?
I think it was 1947, 1949.
Do you have any new reporting in this book?
No.
Simon the Sea Cat?
No, there's no new revelations. But he was wounded in the attack and I thought, well, Simon's going to die.
No.
And he didn't. And he returned to his duty station, which was hunting rats in the galley.
Good.
And he inspired the crew. And they end up promoting him to
Captain.
Abel Cat Simon. And he was presented with a medal called the Dickon Medal, which is an English medal.
Wait a minute.
Pardon me?
I know. Careful now.
By Her Majesty?
No, she actually
did.
Did
they pin it on him?
I will show you guys photographs of the actual medal on Simon. But yeah,
it makes me so happy.
He's a very celebrated guy.
Is this a kid's book?
This is a kid's book. Yeah,
is it a chapter book?
No.
Will you be going opposite Lupica?
I am hoping
in the chapter book.
No, this is like a 6 to 10,
yeah,
right?
This is like a 6 to 10 years old.
Could Bootsy, for example?
He's an advanced reader.
Could Bootsy get through this book and do a report on it?
No, but it's the type of book you would read to Bootsy.
You would read to him, yes. Yeah. And
can people
it's illustrated.
Here's the important thing. Can people buy this book?
Not quite yet.
Will you let us know?
Yes, it will be probably within the next month or so. But I want to show.
Why did I write down Salty the Sea Cat?
Well, because that's a good name. The sequel
would be Salty.
Yes, it actually the sequel that I'm going to write to this is a book about a dog called Rigel who was on the Titanic and saved a boatload of passengers.
Fantastic.
Boatload. So yes. I see what you did there.
There you go.
I thought you were talking about your often discussed memoir, Don't Touch That. That's not the book in question?
No.
All right. Let's do a little bit of sports here. What's the matter?
No, a little bit. Yeah.
Do a little bit of sports. LeBron James in an absolute critical game.
Still good.
starts out by scoring the first 13 points that Cleveland gets. Shoots 17 for 24. Scores 46 with 12 rebounds. And the Cavs have to hang on to win by three. Because Victor Oladipo, local kid for us, DeMatha High School. Victor Oladipo missed an open three. Victor Oladipo, he's good. He missed an open three that would have tied the game and probably sent it into overtime. I still am in the mindset that Cleveland is going to get to the finals, but it's harder and harder for me to be confident about that.
That looked in the first half like a 20-ish point Cleveland
win. We all thought Cleveland would win by a lot. No.
No.
Well, it was 33-18 after one.
Can he do something similar to that for three more games?
Well, they're not good.
That's the problem, what Gary said.
But they turned over the entire team at 60 games through, and they're not good.
And got better in doing so, I think. I think they were even worse before. And maybe it's a matchup thing. But, he's good. He'll carry you some amount of way.
Just a lot
to
ask.
He's got to do this.
I mean, that's a ton.
He's got to score 40.
Yeah.
After a season, he's played a lot of minutes.
Played all 82.
15 seasons. Too.
But it's Bradley feels tired. Imagine how LeBron James feels.
It's one of his best seasons.
Yeah, no question.
But I mean, that's just a lot. I mean, what did Kevin Love have in that game, Gary? Who was the second leading scorer?
He tore a ligament in his thumb.
Yeah. He was the second leading scorer with 15 and 8.
He tore a ligament in his thumb. He's supposedly going to play. I guess it's his
15,
left thumb.
15 and 8, though. They just don't have any secondary scoring. Yeah.
In other news in basketball about stars, James Harden goes 2 for 18. 2 for 18, only scores 12 points, and Houston still wins by 100.
Right.
Because the Minnesota team was happy to get there and puts up no resistance whatsoever, and Karl-Anthony Towns, who I think is going to be great, is not great now. He had 5 points. Yep. That's all he had is 5 points. So that series, the Minnesota can't beat them.
They cannot win.
Can't beat them.
Harden is interesting because, he's the knock on him has not been great in the playoffs.
Yes.
But he was outstanding in the first game.
He had 44 points.
Outstanding. Yeah.
So even though he only had 12, he's averaging 27 points in the playoffs so far. He's very good. And in what I think is the most interesting of them all, Oklahoma City, Utah. Oklahoma City's big three, Russell Westbrook, the reigning MVP in the league and the only player in the history of the league to post two straight triple-double seasons. Unprecedented. No one ever. Russell Westbrook, the fantastically overrated, self-overrated Paul George, who's referring to himself now as Playoff P. Playoff P. And the ghost of Carmelo Anthony. In the fourth quarter, when games are won or lost, those three guys were 0 for 14. No. That's what we call John Wall in Game 7.
You're nitpicking.
Those guys were 0 for 14, and Utah won that game.
Yeah.
What do you make of that?
I mean, Carmelo Anthony is done for. I actually think Paul George has had a pretty good season.
Okay. How do you like the fact that he named himself Playoff
Team? Just the worst.
Why would you call this much attention to yourself?
I don't understand how half of Carmelo Anthony's old talent, Paul George and Russell Westbrook, is not good enough to beat
Utah. To beat Utah, where other than Donovan Mitchell, who you didn't hear of until this year because he wasn't in the league, you can't name anybody else on the squad.
There's some guy named Joe Ingles on the team. I don't even know who that guy is.
Laura Ingles is there?
Yes, I think so. Yeah.
Donovan Mitchell, we were saying. He's good. I was saying to Chris before
air. When was he
air.
Drafted? What number was he drafted, Donovan Mitchell? Could somebody look
the
this up?
Because
it's
I
not
think.
In the top five.
No, we'll Utah
okay,
was drafting high.
He should be rookie of the year, so, except for Ben Simmons.
Who's
and
not
he was
a rookie.
Not, he was not drafted
but
in the top.
But you've seen Donovan Mitchell's campaign against Ben Simmons, right?
Well, because Ben Simmons
wears like this sweatshirt says rookie question mark and has a definite
So Donovan Mitchell with 27-28, 55 in his first two playoff games as a rookie, just beat the record held previously and for a long time by Michael Jordan, who scored 53 in his first two games as a rookie. He does not look scared.
Where was
he went 13th.
Okay.
So here's the order: Fultz, Lonzo Ball, stinks. Jason Tatum, Josh Jackson, De'Aaron Fox, Jonathan Isaac, the kid from Florida State, Lauri Markkanen, the Knicks, it up, Frank Ntilikina.
Well, he was okay.
He's fine.
He was okay. Yeah, go ahead.
Dennis Smith Jr.
These are all okay. Yeah.
Zach Collins.
Yeah.
Malik Monk, Luke Kennard, Mitchell.
These are all
That's
okay.
That's pretty deep, actually.
Absolutely. All those guys are fine.
But Mitchell did, you know, Mitchell is where he is, and he's a terrific player. So that's what happened in basketball last night. I should mention that Scott and Denise are here on their honeymoon.
Yes.
If people want to give them a shout out
there. There they are.
Yeah.
These two.
Yeah. They're here on their honeymoon. The over-under on how long this marriage lasts is lunch.
Yeah, yeah. That is not a good indication that they came here.
This is not probably what you should do.
Sure, she's thrilled.
And let me mention something about my favorite team, the Washington Nationals, who broke my heart this morning when I found out they actually lost that game. Tanner Roark gave them seven good innings. Two runs, three hits, seven good innings. Ryan Zimmerman, out of nowhere.
What a shot.
Yeah. Ryan Zimmerman, a three-run homer, three RBI, three hits. We may never see that again. And they're up, and the Mets score nine in the eighth inning.
Nine
Let me say that
times.
Again. Nine in the eighth inning.
Nine
the bullpen, times. Which I praised yesterday, I am here to condemn today. Ryan Mattson, two-thirds of an inning, five hits, six earned. Sammy Solis, A.J. Cole, all stunk. They all stunk. This is what the Nats did to the Mets on Monday night.
Yes.
And people who I know who are Mets fans said, it's unrecoverable. We can't recover. And in fact, the Nats then took game two and were poised to take game three and cut the Mets lead from 6-3 by sweeping them in their ballpark as the Mets did to the Nats in Washington, D.C. And this inning, this will live in infamy. This one. Am I right on this one?
I think it's a bit of an overreaction.
Yeah, but that's what I do.
This game is the problem with Mattson's performance comes down to what they asked him to do in the week leading up to this game.
Pitched him too much.
Yes.
David Martinez, what are you doing?
If you had said they're going to leave New York having taken 2 of 3 without pitching Scherzer or Strasburg,
very good.
You would say, sign me up.
That's right.
After seven innings on Monday night, if you'd say we'll win one game up here, sign me up for that. Half those runs in the eighth inning mean nothing because they came off that Cespedes grand slam, which of course he's going to do. He's up there swinging at the first pitch, trying to launch anything into the stands.
Which he
did. This is where the Mets are dangerous. They have three or four guys who are going to hit meaningful home runs off of you late. They have great pitching, so the fact that we were able to get out of there with two on a day off today
going. They have great pitching, but in the same sense that they didn't have to see Scherzer or Strasburg, the Nats didn't have to see the Dark Knight of Gotham or Syndergaard.
Right, but they were sat down about 10 guys in a row by Steve Matz after getting those three runs.
Good
in
Long
the
Island boy.
Yeah. So it's
so you're half full on this.
I'm half full because they've had a terrible 2 week stretch, and getting any games here keeps the Mets in their sights. I'm looking forward to the series against the Mets before the All Star break because I think that's going to be the deciding one as to who goes into the second half with a lead.
Yeah, I'm with Michael. We sat here Monday, and you and Chicken Little were on my right here. We're all freaked out about what's going to happen
How
and what
dare
it meant.
You.
Do we panic? And I told you I didn't care and to relax. I think come August, the eighth inning last night will be as talked about as the eighth inning Monday night, which is to say no one's going to be talking about it at all. It doesn't matter.
I've written it down.
It seemed at the time, I mean, in game one, you could have just as well said, this is going to be the inning that turned it all around. Because if they lose this game, oh my God.
Yes.
I know, but I'm saying it just...
Mets fans said that's the end of us.
Well, you can take that tact if you want.
Story, if Ryan Zimmerman and Trey Turner continue to hit on this West Coast swing, they're going to have a winning record out there.
They're going into L.A.
Nats will be in first place by Memorial Day.
Okay. Nats Friday night, I believe, is Scherzer Kershaw.
Ooh,
what a game!
Saturday is going to be Strasburg.
But we know Strasburg doesn't pick those games.
He's going to be chilly.
He's a late scratch. Did you hear Bob Carpenter last night when Zimmerman hit the home run? I feel like it was directed at us.
Yeah, did you hear that? Yes.
It was like, and all those people, who wanted.
He was batting 102 at the time.
Up to 161.
Hey, Tony Kornheiser.
He had a great night. I will get out of here.
Remember, by the way, he had no spring training. I mean, he's still...
Is that true? I hadn't heard that.
You forget the Ryan Zimmerman throwing error.
Yeah, he cannot throw the ball. He gave him two runs.
He's Steve Blass. He does that weird thing where he's Steve Blass.
He can't throw.
Don't you think that's an undertold story?
You should bunt at him all the time with runner on first.
That's such a good point, Michael.
All right, let's get out of here. Ann Hornaday when we return. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the SeatGeek ad. Buying tickets can be complicated and confusing. There's a better way to buy with SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to get tickets to every type of live event. Whether you're searching for a last-minute deal, planning a night out with friends, or need to find the perfect gift, SeatGeek helps you find the best seats at the best prices, fully guaranteed. There's nothing quite like being there in person, and SeatGeek will get you closer to the action for a great value. Chris, you have the app on your phone, am I right?
I do. I wish I was in LA this weekend because I would. I'm actually in Kiowa this weekend.
Oh, good for you.
But no games there, but I would go in
play?
A second.
Play
yes,
golf?
We're
with
playing
your boy?
Three
play with
rounds.
Your boy? When is your boy going to reach
Dan
out
Dan Fisher's
us?
40th birthday. When my he, guy, my oh. Alan Bubis.
Why doesn't he reach out to us?
But Michael, has he reached out to you? If he hasn't, I'm going to make him. He wants to make this happen.
Good.
Yes.
SeatGeek saves you time and money by searching multiple ticket sites to compare prices and find amazing deals. And to get you the most bang for your buck, SeatGeek grades every ticket based on value to help you immediately identify the best seats that fit your budget. Plus, every purchase is fully guaranteed, so you can shop for tickets on SeatGeek with confidence. Make SeatGeek your go-to app for finding the best deals on every type of ticket, from sports and concerts to comedy and theater. And best of all, listeners to this high-quality podcast will get $20 off their first SeatGeek purchase. Just download the SeatGeek app, SeatGeek, enter the promo code Tony today. That is promo code Tony for $20 off your
big
first
news on
SeatGeek purchase. What?
For $154, I can get you into Tori Clark's Section 108 so you can see her degenerate kids in person.
That's cheap.
That's good.
That's worth that money.
These are nice seats for game five.
And there's going to be a game five. Yeah. Yes. At least a game five. All right.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show. The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is sent to us by Evan Michael Biondo, who writes, I've been a fan of yours since the beginning of PTI. I'm almost ashamed I didn't discover your radio show until it was podcast. Since then, you've been a fixture in my daily podcast listening. I'd like to thank you for all the hours of laughter, analysis, and reflections of not just sports, but the world at large. Attached, I am sending a copy of the song House Built by Love for you to do whatever with from my band FNFC, which stands for Friday Night Catfights. Nate Combs, Nick Lawson, Jason Hanold round out our South Carolina quartet. Our four-song EP is available wherever you can stream music. This is House Built by Love. We're very happy to have that. South Carolina, they should say where, because Michael I are familiar with the geography of South Carolina, having driven across on highways that are actually only one lane to Augusta. So, what's going by?
Nothing. Some emergency vehicles.
Okay. Ann Hornaday joins us now, and I know you're saying, oh, it's Thursday. You won't be here Friday. No, Ann couldn't do Friday. We will be here Friday. We won't be here next Friday, but we will be here this Friday, which is tomorrow. There's a bunch of movies. I'm hearing feedback on your phone. Are you getting me in real time or no?
Yeah.
Okay,
yes,
good.
You're coming in loud and clear. I'm so sorry. I don't know what's the problem.
Don't worry about it. All right. So the first movie is called I Feel Pretty. And when you find out that it's an Amy Schumer movie, you understand, of course, the self-directed irony of that. I'm on the side of the road on Amy Schumer. It's not that I don't think she's talented and I don't think she's funny. I think she always does the same thing. And it's sort of the phrase, the word that I would use, it's smelly. You know, you think that it's just a little bit off. It's just a little odorific. I'm not the world's greatest Amy Schumer fan. I'm probably wrong. So is this and every once in a while, like in that movie with Goldie Hawn,
Snatched.
Mm-hmm. Snatched. I mean, half of it, I thought she was really, really funny. But there comes a point in every Amy Schumer movie where she does something that to me is so gross that I just go, I'm done. I'm done right now with this. Mm. Do you feel the same way?
Well, if not, I have discovered in the last few days what a divisive figure she is.
Really?
She really is. People have these very reflexive, visceral reactions to her.
And I think she's talented. I just think she sort of goes over. You know, that's
okay. Right. Yeah. I mean, I thought, let's see, let me break it down. I think she's brilliant as a satirist. I thought the sketches that she did on the Amy Schumer show, some of them were just pure genius, the ones that went viral, the ones we all know. I thought she was really good in Trainwreck. I thought Trainwreck was probably
me too. But I thought Bill Hader and LeBron James were even better.
Yeah.
They were.
I thought they were really good.
You're right. And that bromance they had was
really
so
good.
Charming. It was almost more adorable than the actual central romance. But she was good in it, I thought. And I thought she actually was a very good dramatic actress. I mean, that movie called on her to really act, not just be funny, and I thought she did a very good job. So I think I'm probably coming to her with a little bit more positive baggage than you. Let me see. This one, there was so much of it. There were things about this that I really liked, and I did laugh, and I thought it was is really sweet. I mean, the whole premise is that she plays a normal-looking, average-looking woman who bonks her head and believes that she's gorgeous, and so she starts to act like she's a supermodel. That she's got this superhuman self confidence, and so it's all about these impossible standards of beauty that are kind of marketed to women because she works for a cosmetics company. So this whole kind of theme of consumerism and what it does, the messages that it sends to women about being inadequate. It's just, that's part of the whole warp and woof. But there's a romance in it, too. What am I going to say here? I thought the movie was, it's sludgily paced. There were long periods where it wasn't funny at all. And then you would get hit with these really funny bits where she's adorable. And I thought some of the supporting players, the guy that plays her boyfriend, I've never seen before, named Rory Scovel, was just, he's part of this kind of everyman trend of romantic interests, like actors like Jake Lacy and, I can't think of other names, but there's just this, people who look like real people,
Right.
They're not superhumanly gorgeous, but they're, I would put Chris O'Dowd in that category, just these really charming guys. I thought he was delightful. Michelle Williams plays the head of this cosmetics company. Are you a fan of Sweet Smell of Success?
That's a long time ago.
That's a long time. I know I'm veering.
That's in the 50s, Sweet Smell of
Success.
Work
with me here.
Yes, go ahead.
Sweet Smell is one of my all-time favorite movies. Tony Curtis, Burt Lancaster, sleazy publicist. But there was a supporting actress in that film named Barbara Nichols who played a little ditzy cigarette girl. And I swear to God, Michelle Williams studied that movie to play this character.
Well, she's a wonderful actress. I hope she's getting paid for this one.
She is a wonderful actress, and she's funny.
She's getting more than Wahlberg on this one.
Right, she's really cute. And so there were, moments. I don't want to just completely... I think it's getting a little bit trounced in the reviews.
Uh-huh.
I know my colleague Michael O'Sullivan didn't like it one bit. I think I liked it a little bit more than he did. There's things to value here. But, when it comes to the big climactic moment... I really think she punts. It's like she just doesn't. Okay. They don't really stick the landing. Anyway, is that scattered enough for you?
Yeah, no, that's good. That's good. And so, if you like Amy Schumer, you're going to like the movie.
I'm going to use
really
the phrase "sludgily paced." That
sludgily.
Is an
sludgily,
awesome phrase.
It applies to this show six
a
times
lot of
a week.
Misfires.
A little bit sludgily paced.
All right, so we move on to a movie called Rider, and all I know about it, it's about a rodeo rider who is piecing his life together after an accident. I don't know who's in it. I don't know anything about it. Did you like it?
I love this movie. Oh my God. I just love this movie so much. And this is a movie that was premiered at the Cannes Film Festival a year ago, not in the competition, but in, I think it was in Suit and Regard, one of the sidebars. And I, of course, because this is me, I don't go to those ones. I go to the dogs, you know.
Right.
So I missed it there, but I was hearing all my colleagues raving about it. And I've managed somehow to miss it along all the way through the ensuing months. And I finally saw it yesterday, and I get it now. This is a movie about a guy named Brady. It stars Brady Jandreau, who is a real-life bronc rider. He grew up on the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation in South Dakota, and he did sustain a life-threatening head injury. And this Chinese-born filmmaker named Chloe Zhao met him while she was researching another film, and she immediately thought he was so charismatic and interesting that she wanted to build a movie around him. And when he did sustain that injury, she thought, okay, why don't I fashion a dramatic story, lightly fictionalized, about a guy trying to find his life again? And it is just the most exquisitely filmed. It just looks great. It's these great expanses of the American West, horses, real life. I mean, most of these people are I think all of them are non-professional actors. Brady, his real life family, his real life friends.
Is it a documentary?
Well, no, because it's an actually fictional. It's a lightly fictional. It reminds me of like the stuff that Ken Loach would do, you know, in England. It's got this kind of social realism to it. But it is not a documentary, but it has the authenticity and the lived-in truth of a documentary, but it's just beautiful to look at, and he's a fascinating screen presence, very moving story about somebody trying to find their way. And he's a very gifted horse trainer, and the sequences of him working with horses will just bring tears to your eyes. The way he relates to them and gentles them is just... it's so sublime.
Wow.
I think this might be, now that I'm listening to myself, I think it might be my favorite movie of the year right now.
Wow, Ryder. Okay.
It's really special. It's really special, yeah.
Oh, okay, good. Another movie, continuing a trend of tennis movies, which seem to be out there all the time, Borg versus McEnroe with Shia LaBeouf as John McEnroe.
Right.
I just want to say this. I'm also not a Shia LaBeouf fan.
Well,
I'm not.
I know, but...
So,
it's such great casting, though, don't you think?
I don't know.
But you're supposed to bring that baggage with you to McEnroe.
Okay. How is the movie?
I love this movie.
You're kidding?
I love this movie. Yeah, no.
You love this movie?
Love it.
Wow.
And I've been so eager to tell you about it because I did manage to see this one at Toronto. And I've been just, I kind of went in, like you said, it's the year of, you know, that was the same festival where Battle of the Sexes was with
which I know you liked but didn't love. You liked it a lot.
I liked it a lot, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
This one, and I went in so skeptical. It's about that Wimbledon final between them.
Sure.
And, you know, which I saw, right? I watched it on TV, but honestly, this movie is so well done that you'll forget who won. And don't spoil it for our listeners.
I won't.
You are on.
But I have a picture in my house of the winner on his knees.
Oh, my God. And, okay, so I personally think LaBeouf is great casting for McEnroe for precisely what you just said. I think a lot of people bring
unlikable
baggage.
Yeah.
He's problematic. He's irritating. He's annoying.
Well, so
as was McEnroe during those years.
And even now. But John is also brilliant.
But especially then. And then you have Borg, the paragon of self-possession, coolness, self-control, gorgeous, P.S., and they found this actor to play him who looks exactly like him. His name is Sverre Gudnason.
Oh,
and
from Jersey.
I mean, the whole movie really centers around Borg. And the premise of the movie is that each of these guys actually possessed the qualities of the other but needed to submerge them for various reasons. And it really focuses on Borg's struggle. And the pressures he was under during that match to defend his title. Knowing that the time is coming, right?
Yes.
And that McEnroe will probably take it at some point, maybe then, maybe later.
Do you know as great as Bjorn Borg was?
It's beautifully done. Yes, go ahead.
As great as Bjorn Borg was, he never won the U.S. Open.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
He never won it. I mean,
I wonder why. Are there theories?
I don't know.
Well, I don't know. It's at the Avalon, which we love.
Oh, it's right near my house.
I cannot think of a better movie-going experience than seeing Borg versus McEnroe at the Avalon. I mean, it is such a good movie. I showed it. I presented it with the Talk Cinema folks up at Bethesda Row a few months ago, and we all really
enjoyed it. So you love
it.
This movie.
I just love it. I can't talk. It's a good old, I don't want to oversell it, but it's just the kind of movie, it's just like you go, you're entertained, you're absorbed. It's well structured.
At any point, though,
the tennis is amazing.
Yeah.
They recreate that match, both in terms of the actors and also digitally with the balls. It's seamless. You just can't believe you're watching.
You really think
you're watching the real match.
Here's the only thing that I want to say. If I go to this movie and I overhear someone say the following sentence, so which one is McEnroe and which one is Borg?
Go insane. Well, how dare you, sir?
Hi, Gen Z. I mean, you know, I did. Yeah, it's fun.
I'm leaving.
Like, we all know. This is in our wheelhouse as baby boomers and Gen Xers. But... yeah, I don't know. That's a good point. That I think it is directed toward our cohort, if you will. But
right.
we need movies too. So
no, absolutely. The
go
last
to the
movie
Avalon and Seaborg versus Mac.
I will do that. Last movie that we're going to talk about. By the way, you know, a couple of blocks from the Avalon, or maybe a block, is Jetties. And we have fond feelings about Jetties, except for the fact that they don't take cash.
Yeah,
they only take credit cards. They only take PayPal or PenPal.
Venmo.
You know, I have cash.
PenPal.
No, we don't want your cash.
And Vimeo.
Then I don't want you on this block.
Have you tried Salt? Sometimes they take Salt as currency.
I didn't know that.
Yep.
All right.
Bartering.
Kodachrome, which is a famous...
So that was it? Just pointing out that Jetties was also there? I thought you were going somewhere else.
No, they don't take cash.
No, okay. They don't take cash, Gary. I don't know if he's pointing out.
Oh, I know, but it sounded like you were in the middle of saying something else.
No,
and that was...
I don't like... They don't take cash.
Right.
Just Venmo.
That's anti-American.
Okay.
Veppo, that was the six
Mark Brothers.
Kodachrome, which was a famous Paul Simon song that everybody knows, which begins with "When I think back on all the crap I learned in high school." Jason Sudeikis and Ed Harris, both of whom I like, I'm told go to visit a Kodachrome lab before it shuts down. That's the précis that I have been given to this.
I like
those people. I want this to be good.
Well, this is like in the dying days of like that of Kodachrome and
But I thought
Kodak.
That was in Rochester. I was surprised to learn it's in Kansas.
I guess there was another facility.
I didn't know that.
Like that.
Is that a true fact, Ann?
It is. As a matter of fact, this is actually based on a New York Times article that was written by A.G. Sulzberger.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
By Young
in 2010.
Punch.
Is this Nebraska? All over again?
You know what?
I didn't like Nebraska.
This has all the contours. We've seen this movie before. It's a road trip. It's about the reunion between an irascible father and his alienated son.
Do they do Michael Caine impersonations?
Michael Caine.
Now we're talking.
Yeah.
You're only supposed to blow the bloody doors off.
I know. I had a lot of resistance to this just because it's so familiar. And, of course, they have to have a gorgeous girl along, played by the gorgeous Elizabeth Olsen, who I also really love. Even though I thought the structure of it was really tired and the themes, to your point, these actors really make it worth it. I mean, they're all so good, and they're appealing, and it looks great. They filmed it. It's kind of a Valentine to Lost format. So it's this paying homage to disappearing film stocks, and it was filmed on 35mm, and it looks great. I actually happened to see it on a computer link. It's at the E Street. It's mostly a Netflix movie, so it's for most people, they'll be seeing it on Netflix, which is ironic.
Can you get Netflix on your TV? It's such an homage to anti-Netflix.
Wait, is that a joke?
It's very complicated, but yes, you can get Netflix on your TV.
Right. Can you get Netflix on your TV, or do you have to use a computer?
Oh, my God.
No, I get Netflix on my TV.
Yes.
I don't have it.
When I'm watching press screeners, I have to watch them on my laptop.
Do you get Ann, do you have the internet on your computer?
I need to talk to you about that.
How do you get it off your computer?
God, Tony.
Kodachrome. I'm bothered. I am so bothered, but I mean because I went to school in upstate New York and I know that originally that's from Rochester.
I know.
I'm so bothered that Eastman Kodak if you told me when I was 20 years old, you know, in 30 years. It's gone. It can't be gone.
How about if when you were 40, I had told you no Toys R Us?
Well, you know.
Surprised me less than Eastman Kodak. Yeah. Less.
No, Kodak, you're right. I feel the very same way. And I was
Kodak is GM to me. Yeah. IBM,
right.
GM, Kodak.
But it's GM, and it's also it's what it represents locally, but it's also the aesthetic, and it's like,
just,
you know,
amazing.
There was this moment when we thought Super 8 film, you know, that Super 8 film was so endangered, and it was really music videos that kept Super 8 going for a while because directors were using it for texture and cool looks, and, you know, it was kind of a hip thing to be using. I get real weepy around those old film stocks. It's like when you see this, the colors and the grain and the texture of them.
Give us a nice bright color,
you know.
Give us the greens of summer.
We got post-pro filters for that stuff now, Ann.
Thank you, Ann.
It's all in the color timing, baby.
Thank you, thank you.
It's always a pleasure.
Ann Hornaday, who loved Ryder and loved
the Ryder, just
McEnroe.
To clarify.
The
Ryder.
Didn't love Ryder. Kodachrome and was sort of ambivalent on I Feel Pretty.
Oh, and I should say I got to see Super Troopers 2 this week.
Just can't even imagine how good that is.
It's not as good as the first one, which I genuinely did love. There's some good cheap laughs in it.
You want to take a minute to restate your Rampage review from last week?
Number one movie in the country.
Yeah, I said it's good fun, and you know it's not going to
win any
awards.
Number one movie in the country, Rampage.
That's where The Rock. Everybody loves. He seems to be the guy that can open.
Who doesn't
a movie
love
now.
The Rock?
President Johnson.
Yeah, he's good. So there you go.
He'd be the third President Johnson.
Mm-hmm. Andrew
Lyndon, and
Dwayne.
Gus. Yeah. Wasn't it Gus Johnson?
No, not.
Yes.
Gus Johnson is in.
Jimmy.
Not to be confused with the President's Johnson, which has also been in the news lately.
let's get out of here as soon as we can. We will have news when we return. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Brooklinen ad. This stuff's good.
Yes.
I mean, I didn't get enough of it. Michael, do you have Brooklinen in your house?
I do not. So we ordered the complimentary set for the reader.
I like
it. We were sort of hoping that you would toss it off to us.
I didn't?
No, you've enjoyed it so much.
I really like it. It says, talk about the new bedding you've discovered, brooklinen.com. I really like it. I mean, how much can I talk about sheets? I really like it.
We went for a nice neutral color.
Yeah, it's very nice.
He's like the sheet tyrant of Chevy Chase over here.
You spend a third of your life in your sheets. They make a difference with how you sleep. Start getting better sleep with the best sheets. Brooklinen.com. The best, most comfortable sheets. No big markup. Upgrade your nightly routine. Help you feel more rested every single day. That was founded in 2014 by a husband and wife team, Vicky and Rich Fullup. Their philosophy was the most beautiful, comfortable home essentials without crazy prices. No unnecessary markups and fees. Most bedding, and I was amazed to learn this, is marked up by as much as 300%. Brooklinen is the fastest growing bedding brand in the world with over 15,000 five-star reviews, and it has been named winner of the best of online bedding category by Good Housekeeping, which is right under best sixth man in the NBA. Versatile colors and patterns you can mix and match to complement any decor. This is luxury bedding, and it's underpriced. You have to try these sheets today. My Brooklinen sheets are the best, most comfortable sheets I have slept on. Brooklinen.com has an exclusive offer from my listeners to this great podcast. You get $20 off and you get free shipping when you use the promo code Tony at Brooklinen.com. Brooklinen is so confident they offer a risk-free Luke Russert type 60-night satisfaction guarantee and a lifetime warranty on all of their sheets and comforters. The only way to get $20 off and free shipping is to use the promo code Tony at Brooklinen.com. That's Brooklinen, Brooklinen. .com, promo code Tony, Brooklinen. These are the best sheets ever.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
The Tony Kornheiser Show.
Ryan Cowder sent this in to the Silent Critics. You've played a couple of our songs before. I wanted to reach out and see if we could have one or both of our songs played leading up to our show at a new venue at the Wharf named Pearl Street Warehouse on May 11th. Here is a link to the show. It's the pearlstreetwarehouse.com/event. It's just too long a link. We are playing with Practically Einstein, another band from Northern Virginia. Here are some songs that are on our album Chemical Avalanches and Toxic Romances that we'll be playing that night at the Pearl Street Warehouse. So that's here. That's in Washington, Pearl Street? Is that the new Wharf complex?
I believe it is.
We were right there yesterday.
Yes, we drove there yesterday.
Right. Yes.
So these are the Silent
Critics. Like this.
This song is called Easier Said Than Done, parentheses, whatever.
Huh. Whatever. Yeah. Chemical Avalanches and Toxic Romances is actually a pretty good name. I like that for an album. Michael, if people like the Silent Critics, want to send in their music, how do they do that?
Send your music into the show by emailing it to us at jingles@tonykornheiser.com.
And what are we selling today besides $12 Chatter t-shirts live here in the shop, in the studio?
Right? Did I hear that right?
Today.
$12?
Just $12.
Can't be
right. No. Well, this may interest some of
this
you
joint
based
afloat.
On yesterday's show.
But Socialite is out there counting the house.
We have the Mr. Dr. Porthauser t-shirt available. And 'tis the season, we have a very fine ladies' cut Tony Kornheiser shirt for your Mother's Day needs.
Oh, that interests me.
I mean, how many moms want this? The answer is all moms.
All of them.
All moms want this. Yes. So, all right, that's good. You have news for us, Nigel?
I do indeed, Mr. Tony.
I'm
Tony
the
really
more
likes
I look
the
at this
Wilbon's
plate,
chili plate.
Yeah, you love this.
I really like
Maybe
this.
Maybe
we
get a full set.
This is the full set.
Oh.
And they don't give this out at gas stations either, like they used to in the old days. Can we get those things, the little trivets or the little things that hang plates up on walls?
Plate hangers.
Yeah.
Are they called plate hangers?
It can't
be called plate hangers.
I'm sure we can track that down. I'm sure at Michael's across the street they have something like that.
Yeah, why don't they bring one over?
Yes.
Okay.
We'll work on that.
Yeah.
We will start off with a topic I know you love to lead the news with, the National Hockey League.
There's two things I want to point out in the National Hockey League. And people who listen to this podcast know that, you know, we're not
a hockey show.
Okay. The Penguins beat the Flyers last night 5-0.
Yeah.
Sidney Crosby scored a bunch of times. This series,
they score 5 every time they play them.
Listen to the scores in this series. 4 games so far. Pittsburgh's won 3 of them. Philadelphia's won 1 game. 7-0, 5-1, 5-0, 5-0. Mm-hmm. That's unbelievable in hockey. The domination of the winning team consistently. You look at the Capitals series, they go to overtime in all 3 games. Road teams win all 3, which is highly unusual.
Yeah.
This is an amazing. This is absolutely
amazing.
Tony,
I think it was here that you mentioned that maybe it was Eddie Olczyk who said this to you guys on PTI, that in the 5 regular season meetings,
Pittsburgh
scored 5 or more every single time. And now 3 of these 4, they've
Who's
done the
in
same.
Goal for the Philadelphia Flyers?
Not a good matchup.
Bring back
type
Ron
situation.
Hextall.
Is Bernie Wolf in there now? I mean, and Bernie's over 60.
What's Grubbsy doing? He probably could pop over there.
Around. Grubbs can give up 5.
I wanted to mention one other thing. As a result of the Vegas Golden Knights sweeping whatever team they swept, they have been installed as co-favorites
to win
the entire NHL, to win the Stanley Cup. They are co-favorites with the Nashville Predators. Would somebody like to tell me what those two teams have in common?
Expansion teams.
No.
One has a former Caps coach. Does the other?
They both have former Caps GMs running the team. David Poile and George McPhee, who were fired here.
Yeah, McPhee.
David Poile and George McPhee, fired here, are now the general managers of teams that are considered co-favorites to win the Stanley Cup. You know who's not considered a co-favorite to win the Stanley Cup?
The Capitals.
Yeah, the Capitals. That would be the correct answer.
Yes.
I just mentioned that. Let's move on.
We'll go to...
You can't compare them to a couple of hockey hotbeds like Nashville and Vegas, though.
It's true.
Absurd.
Long
places.
Traditions original in both of those places. Yeah.
Right. We'll go to basketball.
Or is it
Tony.
Sixes?
Kelly Oubre Jr. says he has no beef with Drake after the rapper was
Where do we
courtside.
Stand on Drake?
Yeah, call him a bum.
Where do we stand on Drake?
I like Drake. Okay. I like his music, but I could do with... There's like a camera on him. It's like they have a 2-shot. One is the whole court.
Right.
The other is Drake.
Right.
I could do with a little less of him.
You don't blame Drake for that.
Is he he has an ownership stake now in
tiny,
the Raptors?
Tiny. He's like considered their ambassador at large.
Okay, got it.
So as Kelly Oubre is running by him, Drake calls him a bum.
Kind of
like
that.
You're a bum.
Yeah.
Afterwards, Kelly Oubre is asked about this. Do you have the quote, the Kelly Oubre quote? Sort of an amazing quote.
That's my, he says, that's my guy, that quote?
Yeah.
He said, that's my guy, though. I see him in the summertime all the time. We pretty much run the streets of L.A. together.
Oh.
We pretty much run the streets of L.A. together. Now, I admire the fact that Kelly Oubre did not take offense at Drake calling him a bum in the heat of battle and all of that. But Kelly Oubre, I would get rid of Kelly Oubre.
Oh, my God.
I don't think he's a long-term
They're giving up 130 with him. They'd give up 150.
You know who Kelly Oubre's biggest fan is?
Not Bill Self.
Kelly Oubre.
Yeah,
I mean,
not Bill Self.
Got a lot of opinion
about
him.
I just think that he is in the Swaggy P mold, and I don't know.
A little bit Swaggy P there. By the way, how did you like the back and forth with the player from Milwaukee when he was asking about Terry Rozier, and he's like,
"Who?
I've never."
Who's that guy? Well, he's torching you.
Yeah,
you know,
because exactly.
he's torching
yeah,
you.
Yeah, exactly.
Because Terry Rozier called him Drew Bledsoe, not Eric Bledsoe, but by mistake.
I think it was by mistake.
By mistake,
because he was praising him while he was in that comment.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of Drew Bledsoe, the guy that was starting quarterback before Tom Brady has not officially committed to playing in 2018, and there now are some things swirling around thinking maybe he won't play.
So this is, when you have a story, this is an Adam Schefter story. This is a sourced but anonymous story. Those of us who've worked in newspapers in our lives, and there's two of us at the table here, When you get a story like this, your first question ought to be, who benefits by this story? Mm-hmm. Who is most likely to have put this story out there? Now, a story that intimates that Tom Brady might not return, the Patriots do not benefit by this.
No.
Because if the Patriots had known this, they would not have traded Jimmy Garoppolo,
right,
who's really good. So the person or side which benefits by this is the Tom Brady side. And you ask, so why does this happen? Well, my guess is, and it's strictly a guess, my guess is that Tom Brady is upset at the public way in which his personal trainer was trashed by Bob Kraft and Bill Belichick. And this is sort of, you ask yourself, why do people go out of their way to do this publicly? Why does Greg Popovich go out of his way to seemingly trash Kawhi Leonard? Or why do you do this? And there are scars as a result. It would not surprise me if Tom Brady, 8 Super Bowls, 5 wins, Tom Brady, even if he said, you know what, they don't appreciate me. They don't appreciate me the way they ought to appreciate me. And that he's very, would not surprise me if Tom Brady is throwing a fit about this.
Yeah.
Well, if he is,
I think he'll play.
If he is, he wouldn't be happy about Nesson reports that the Patriots are expressing interest in Josh Rosen.
And they have to draft a quarterback. He's 41.
You don't have to draft one in the first round. I mean, if you're Brady, you could say you don't have to draft one in the first round. But I think this thing is overreported, frankly.
I think there's something there. I think since those reports came out about a rift between Belichick, Kraft, and Brady, I think that was true. And I think the combination with the fact that the Belichick benched Malcolm Butler, all the stuff with Alex Guerrero. Now you have Brady and Gronk not showing up to these voluntary camps, but they always do.
Gronk has the IQ of this.
Well, yeah, but
he's going to do what Brady does too.
But Gronk also hasn't committed to playing.
And he's also using Guerrero.
Guerrero, yeah. So I think there really is something there.
When they show up unfit or ill prepared, which I can't say for Gronk, but for Brady seems highly unlikely. I would be concerned.
You know what though? This feels like the Let It Be album. You know, they might go
into
it. Might
be time to bring it up.
And yeah, they might be great, but underneath the surface, they're all not getting along. So
okay,
can you imagine Brady in another uniform?
No.
But you
possible.
Know what? Could you imagine Joe Montana?
I could not then either.
Chiefs outfit or
that's true.
Jerry Rice playing for the Raiders?
Or Art Monk as a Jet?
Not Tom Brady.
Yeah, it just doesn't seem possible.
Not Tom Brady.
We'll go now to Nikki Haley, Mr. Tony. I know it's a story you want to talk about.
So I want to hear from Chris on this, because I sort of like Nikki Haley.
Yeah.
I think she's very good at the UN. And she said, the other day, she said there will be sanctions on Russia.
Mm-hmm.
She would not have said that if somebody higher up didn't tell her that.
100%.
She couldn't the UN ambassadors do not go out there on their own.
No. And she was on multiple Sunday talk shows. She was put on those shows,
at least in part,
to say this.
Right.
And now what happened?
Well, I think, and we may, this is a break from tradition. I think Donald Trump changed his mind at the last second.
And intimated he was confused.
Well, right. And then so Larry Kudlow, who is, you know, a TV person who is now the chief economic advisor for the president,
but has an economic background.
It's not absolutely. He's not unqualified. No, he's not unqualified at all. But most people probably know him from TV.
This is good.
He went out, not clear at the behest of the president, but he basically said, Nikki Haley, nice lady. She she's confused.
Right.
And Nikki Haley then put out a great quote, which said,
savage.
With all due respect, savage. Which, of course, if you say that, you have no respect.
With middle finger
with
extended.
All due respect, I don't get confused.
Right.
Printing T-shirts now.
What happened?
And now Trump has said, we're not doing the sanctions. CNN reported this last night that we have informed
Welcome
Russia
back.
There are no future sanctions. No, I shouldn't say no future. No immediate sanctions on the way.
What happens to Nikki Haley?
I don't know. I mean, she was one
Does
of the people who I think – I don't think she
that,
walks.
That's more likely than
she was
the other
one of the people
outcome,
that he holds in pretty high regard.
That's
I mean, remember, I was always amazed that he offered her the job because she was – adamantly opposed and very publicly
100%.
Opposed to him being the nominee, to him
100%.
Being president. So I don't totally know. I mean, I do know I was reading a story. There's a story in the New York Times that says Donald Trump yelled at President Trump was watching television on Sunday when he saw Nikki Haley announce he would impose sanctions on Russia. The president grew angry As far as he was concerned, he had to decide no such thing. So
she never would have gone on these shows without the direction provided by someone 100%. In the White House.
And I don't. What's weird is it doesn't seem like an obvious miss, like a thing you would misunderstand. It's like it's kind of a yes
well, are
or
we
no.
Doing
like,
them or aren't we?
Right? It's not like,
right. Hey, I'm going on all the shows Sunday.
Right. I thought like he said Tajikistan. He said Kazakhstan. You know what I mean? Like
no, it's not the same as confusing. Simon the Sea Cat with Salty the Sea Cat.
Right.
It's not the same as that.
Available soon at the Tony
but,
Kornheiser
so
store.
So it's very, very strange. I don't know what comes of it. I mean, obviously, he you have two competing things here. One, he doesn't like being contradicted publicly, and he doesn't.
He
like
only likes to contradict himself.
That's right,
on an hourly basis.
But he also does like when his aides fight in front of him.
Yes.
And this was kind of like a walkover fight because Nikki Haley, because Kudlow apologized. So you have like two competing things we know about Donald Trump. So I don't know which one wins out. But there will be no sanctions. And Gary,
no collusion.
Everyone says there's no collusion.
So is the collusion.
So my knee jerk, when I, especially when there was like a tone to the Kudlow comments that was sort of dismissive. Mm-hmm. And my knee jerk was like, she's going to watch. She ain't going to take this. And then when she sort of fired back.
Well,
and
that
said,
statement.
I don't
I mean, that statement, like in, I mean, that's a, there's a lot of
she
shade.
She basically called
the
bluff
shade
and then he backed down. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know you wanted to talk about Roseanne Barr and she.
Well, was, not.
But I have a story I would rather do for you.
Yes, just do the other story.
This is in Canada. God bless Canada. Where a child, a four-year-old boy's behavioral problems were causing issues in the preschool classes he was in. So this woman was asked to treat him, and she gave him saliva from a rabid dog.
Everybody is going to want that now.
Yeah. Well, she said
saliva from a rabid dog.
Which she was when carrying say, around in a
when
vial.
When you say this woman was asked, who is this woman?
Anke,
she was asked to treat him.
Anke Zimmerman.
But who is she?
Who is she? Teacher?
What is her credential?
She's a naturopath, which means...
Pardon me?
Yeah, a naturopath, which she uses natural remedies for things as opposed to like prescribe, like, oh, go to the hospital.
Well, rabid dog saliva is certainly a natural
remedy. By the
remedy.
Way, that
she
is
said,
a bad
they don't
job.
Isn't that what Kobe had done to his knee in Germany?
Rabid dog saliva extractor? Bad job.
That's not
that
a good
is a tough job.
The preschool was complaining that the child was hiding under tables and growling at people. She said the young child, who she identified only as Jonah, had been bitten by a dog in the past and suspected this may have led to his behavioral problems. She said there's something called Licinium in rabid saliva.
Of course, Licinium.
And she said,
do you remember when the two workers at the 7-Eleven near me were
Meshfu
and saliva?
Yes, I think
saliva.
That's right. Yeah, they're doing very well.
It's weird.
So she
it's
said,
the only 7-Eleven that ever closed in America.
Yeah, that's how does that happen?
I don't know.
Within a minute or two of giving him the remedy, Jonah smiled at me very broadly and beautifully as if all the lights had gone on. Mm. We said our goodbyes.
Works
and
every time.
I felt a warm feeling of hope.
Well,
for
no
this
need
boy.
To follow up on that. I'm satisfied.
Yeah. This woman? Would she wander around with pouches of rabid dog saliva?
I guess they really don't report on the story.
The,
I love how he was cured instantly.
Is, right.
Meanwhile, well, he seemed to be acting fine. So
health officials in Canada are being like, no, no,
no, of course not.
Do not do this. This could be very, very bad and could cause death.
I think the heat down there makes them crazy.
Yes.
Canadians.
Down there. Yes.
All right, we'll get out of here. I wanted to say again, and I know I said this yesterday, the pilots in the Southwest Airlines thing.
Tammy Joe.
All praise.
Stud.
Brilliant.
All praise.
Brilliant.
To the pilots. All right. We'll be back. We'll have Old Guy Radio when we return. I'll tell you the story of me and the Social Security Administration yesterday. Mm.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is Old Guy Radio for the day. This is Happy Together, which is the closing tune to a wonderful movie called Adaptation.
Yes.
Just a wonderful movie. These are the Turtles, and we're playing this because Mark Volman, one of their lead singers, is 71 years old today. The two lead singers, Mark Volman, who's the other guy? They became Flo and Eddie.
Flo and Eddie,
they
I remember that.
Worked with Frank Zappa for a long time.
They used to do a show, I think, on WFAN for a little while.
Is that right?
Yeah, I remember listening to it.
Yeah, so I always liked the Turtles in terms of critical commentary. Turtles played Trisha Nixon's wedding.
Yeah.
Yeah, played at the White House. They played the wedding.
Hmm.
You know what I thought of the other day? It just popped in my head. There's a Bob Dylan song, and I'm not exactly sure on the lyrics. I think when you go your way and I'll go mine is the name of the song. And I think he says at some point, I think I'll let you pass. And he says, and then we'll see, you know, who does well and who gets left behind when you go your way and I go mine. We should play that song just because I think, I don't know that I have those lyrics correct.
And time will tell.
Yeah.
That one, right?
Is it who does well and who gets left behind?
I have the lyrics. Hold on.
Let me know what the lyrics are.
Then time will tell who has fell and who has been left behind
right. When you go your way and I go mine. Yep. It's just the way his intonation. Is just better than everybody else's intonation. Yeah. All right, so
not just his intonation, but the way he says stuff.
Just to let you know about this song, they released it as a single in February 67, and it knocked the Beatles' Penny Lane.
It was a great tune.
Yeah, it was a great song. So it knocked them
out. By the way, it actually
sounds
like Penny Lane. Yeah, if you listen carefully, it is the same basic structure as Penny Lane.
It was their only number one hit. Happy Together.
They're very, very good. Yeah, they recorded on White Whale Records. Which
that's an awesome name.
So yesterday, in honor of me being just the oldest person in the universe, I had to go to the Social Security Administration, and I had to register, and I had to do some stuff at Social Security.
That sounds like it's going to take a while.
I didn't know where I was going. I had been to the Social Security Department once before to get a passport, I think, and it was on M Street. But this was not on M Street. This was on 1300 D Street Southwest, an area with which I am completely unfamiliar. So I asked Michael to drive me, and we were in traffic and in traffic and in traffic, and I was getting antsier and antsier because I'd made an appointment for 10 o'clock, and I didn't want to be late for the appointment. Not that I thought they would take me at 10, but I just didn't want to be late and get to the back of the line, you know, and then not get done till 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I mean, in my mind, I'm thinking this is going to be a couple of hours.
What bothers me about when I drive you anywhere is I'll use a Google Maps, Waze, whatever you want to use. It gives you your estimated time of arrival.
Which I never trust.
Which you scoff at.
I never trust it.
So we get into expected traffic in Rock Creek Parkway. You just laugh at me and go, yeah, sure. 15 minutes away? Yeah. Maybe.
No chance. Anyway, Michael begins to wander through the area near in East Potomac Park near the golf course, and Michael does a great job of getting us there. But you have the benefit of
I drive these streets every day during golf season, and so I tried to give you a beautiful river view of the wharf from the other side.
It was beautiful.
You run those streets.
Oh yeah,
it was sort of like Kelly Oubre. it was fabulous to look at, and this amazed me. While there was traffic everywhere else, we had no traffic on the way we were going once we got past the Kennedy Center.
It's almost like I planned it.
Right. So it was really good. So I say to Michael, okay, we miscalculate at one point. We get on the wrong street, but we're like around the corner. You find the right place. It's around the corner from the Mandarin Oriental Hotel.
Oh, yeah.
Which used to exist just by itself and nothing was there. And now there are a million things.
Nice Starbucks right there.
Now there are a million things are around
Excellent.
It. Excellent.
Small coffee chain.
Anyway. So he lets me out and I walk across the street. I'm going to take a cab back. I'm going to try and get a cab, which I'm not used to. I like cabs better than Ubers and Lyfts. I just do personally. But I haven't hailed a cab. It's been a while.
Right.
I don't know where to go to stand to get a cab because usually someone gets it for me.
And that's a very weird area too, because it's off.
But I
mean,
was
it's not like a regular traffic.
I was confident if I could find my way back around the corner to the hotel, there'd be cabs there.
Sure.
So I mean, that was my fallback position. In fact, I got a cab before I got there. I'm getting way ahead of myself in the story. So in my mind, I am thinking, I'm going into the Social Security Administration, and the people who are going to be in the waiting room are going to be in their 70s and 80s. It's going to be, in effect, Ingleside, you know, everybody's going to be really old because it's the Social Security Administration.
Old but engaged.
Nope.
So I get there, and I am by far the oldest person in the lobby. By far the oldest person. And the person who's ahead of me online says that, why are you here, sir? This guy's about 50.
That's a fine hello.
About 50.
Why are you here?
Well, no. That's the, when he walks up to the counter.
I thought you meant the guy next to you in line turned to you and said, why are you here?
No. They he's at the window.
Right. Oh, okay.
And they say to him, why are you here, sir? And he says, I'm here to change my name. That was Ooh. Very sketchy to me. Mm. I'm here to change my name. Yeah. This is a guy in his 50s. Mm. I'm
maybe
thinking,
he recently got married and he's changing his last name, hyphenating it or something.
I'm thinking he's running from the law. That's what I'm thinking. It's a Jeff Galooly situation.
Cat Stevens, Youssef Islam.
You know,
type
I mean,
situation.
I just, I so Meta, I mean, anyway. Peace. So then a guy comes over to me. One of the guards comes over to me. And says, well, and I say, well, I have a 10 o'clock appointment, and I give him my name, and he walks over to another window, and this is about 5 to 10, and he says,
you're
okay,
early, have a seat.
If you just answer a couple of questions here, and then your appointment is ready. Well, so this is great. I mean, the guy's ready for me. So they take me over to one of the counters, counter 13, which I like as a number because my birthday is 13. Okay. I'm very happy about this.
Right.
And a guy introduces himself. He says, my name is Mr. Ralston. And I say, hi, I'm Tony Kornheiser. And you know, and the next thing out of his mouth is this. Man, the ghost of Dwayne Wade bit you.
Oh, so now good. You know you're set.
Yeah.
What?
Now you know you're set.
I'm in. Yeah, I'm in at
That's
this point.
Great.
I'm walking out with cash money at this point. So now we begin to talk about Wilbon. We did the first 5 minutes on Wilbon.
So great.
First 5 minutes on Wilbon, and I noticed right by his computer is a Los Angeles Kings hat. And I go, what? He explains born in L.A., but raised in Brooklyn and likes it. Then I said, you were just swept out. He goes, don't even talk to me. So we do 5-10 minutes on sports, 5 minutes on Wilbon, 5 minutes on general sports. And then he's going to – now I'm going to get Social Security. I mean, I put in a lot of money over a lot of years, and I'm going to get Social Security. And at this point, he says to me, and I've got a deal to offer you. These are the last words I ever expected in the Social Security Administration.
Yeah.
You know, before you sign up for this monthly thing, I can offer you this deal. And the deal is – and everybody gets this offer. This is the deal. You can take. You
Put
can
it
go,
off, right?
No. Okay. You can go back 6 months. Is there anybody here old enough? No, nobody's here old enough to get Social Security. You can go back 6 months.
Pubes raised
to okay? The socialite.
Yeah.
That socialite is not getting any money.
No.
No, they're not. He's going to have to continue
Linen
to pay
magnate.
Money. Right. So he's in a different tax bracket. So you can go back 6 months. They'll give you 6 months of payment in a lump sum, but if you take the 6 months of payment in a lump sum, your then monthly payout is lower than the top end you're going to get.
Mm.
Like what I'm getting, what they offer me first, without going into specifics here, is the top end, because I've waited a long time and I put in a lot of money. So this is the most I think I can get. They're going to give me a lump sum of a goodly sum of money, a good five-figure sum of money.
Nice.
But if I take that, my monthly payment from then on is less. Okay. Is less. So I say, I don't really know. And
do they need to know now, or can you like go home and run the numbers and figure what the break even point
yes,
is?
Yes, but
like
then you have to come back and you have to.
Yeah,
do
then
this
you got
to
go the rigmarole.
I don't want to go through this.
Did he talk to his supervisor?
No. It wasn't like a car deal.
Came back with a smiley face on it.
But you know what, buddy? I'm gonna get this done.
I like you.
So I had a question. This was my question. I didn't know this. Like many other things I don't know, like Netflix. Like I felt that because I had put in so much money over the years to Social Security, that when I got my Social Security, it was not going to be taxable. But it is. It is taxable income. So now I have a job. Not this. I have a real job in the afternoons. I have a job. So I don't really want more money because it's going to get taxed at a much higher rate than if
working.
I have no job. Right. And I'm not going to quit my job to take this money. Right. I'm not doing that. That's even stupider than I am. So I say all of these things out loud as I'm deciding what to do. And he says, you know, a lot of people call their financial advisors and they ask them what to do. And I go, can I do that?
You get one phone call.
Yeah, yes.
You get one
phone a friend.
So I call Matt. I call Matt, and I explain to him. He says, don't take the lump sum. And he says, you're betting on yourself. The break-even point is 9 years. And I go, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
What's the line?
Right, you got to live.
Eight and a half.
You got to live
that's
nine.
That's a good number.
You got to live nine to make it worth your while.
So anyway, so we decided to do that. Then he asked me a few small questions for identification purposes. And then he found out, as what has already happened to me twice, is people have tried to claim my Social Security.
That's a smart move.
Twice.
Yeah, twice. Once was Gary, that. Once
but
was me.
But they don't have enough true information. Now that is precluded completely. Because I have registered, and they have all of my information.
Didn't you know of one of those? I thought you talked about
a fake Tony Kornheiser.
Yeah, twice happened twice.
Yeah.
So then at the end, so it wraps
just love
up.
Love that if somebody saw them and be like, "You're Tony Kornheiser."
You bet.
You look a lot different than you do on television.
Different Tony Kornheiser.
So during the conversation I'm having with Mr. Ralston, every once in a while, someone walks behind him and looks at me, and goes, "Hi, watch you all the time, hi." So that was because I'm
nice.
I'm pretty much used to being if I don't get recognized for a couple of days,
I wonder what
has happened here.
Yeah,
when we were done, said is it okay if we take pictures? And I said sure. And I go in the back. I take pictures
with
everybody
like
in the Social Security Administration.
That's fantastic.
So it was
did you give anyone ties while you were there?
I didn't have any ties with me. So it was a very pleasurable
that's
experience
awesome.
For me in
that
which sounds... I didn't think was going to happen.
Do you
I was
carry
very happy.
8.5 by 11 glossies?
I do not. Sugar Ray Leonard always did.
Yep.
Right. Sugar Ray Leonard always had
me
signed
Sugar
pictures.
Ray Leonard.
You do too?
Yeah, I mean,
no,
I haven't given any away yet. But.
What was the total time it took for all this? So you got there at 5 of 10.
It took 45, 50 minutes.
Well,
I mean,
so bad.
Yeah, but it was
that's
fine.
Not bad at all.
But it was fine. The most important thing was making the appointment, which I thought would be complete waste of time. They were ready.
That's fantastic.
Were ready. And when I identified myself and showed picture IDs and all of that, I went right in and sat down and did this. But I was also so surprised that it wasn't littered with old people.
Yeah,
it wasn't.
Well,
What else do they do? How does the name change your name? I think you get a passport.
How did the name change things sort out? Did you get the name?
I got away from that.
Because
I thought he changed his name to Stormy Daniels. I wasn't sure.
I spent a few weeks in there one day a couple of years ago because I needed to get
a passport?
Social Security card.
Oh.
I needed to get my Social Security card replaced. And it was like, you know, the first thing they asked me was for my Social Security card. And I'm like,
yeah,
well,
that's why I'm here.
Right.
That's why I'm here.
So, yeah,
I was there several hours. Way too young to have to deal with this, well, but it was not, it was okay.
We're not going to have to deal with it. Michael won't have to deal with it at all.
Because there will be no Social Security.
It'll be insolvent because guys like you are taking the big number.
Right. But
I
put in a lot of money to this. He showed me my history of putting in.
That's good.
Yeah, I put in.
I just love these. Like,
you know, if that was chatter, we'd be loaded right now.
Just wish you could. If you take the lump sum, I think they could incentivize that by giving you like a bag that has a
singles.
Big money sign on it so you can walk out with it.
Put like an Xbox in there for the grandkids.
There's no wrong answer to that because it works out. Ultimately, it works out. If you live long enough, it works out. But in my particular case, I'm going to get taxed. I'm going to lose a lot of it.
Yeah.
You know, so I'd rather delay it and delay and play it. Anyway, that's my story and I'm sticking to it. We will get out of here. We will have email and a jingle when we return. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
Sweet potato.
Doing my shopping at the vegetable stand, comparing root plants that I got in my hand. This looks good, so I think I'll be trying. I hope no one's looking at what I am buying.
Potatoes! You win!
And I believe they were sweet potatoes. I like sweet potatoes.
I think the lyrics are by Robert Skolnicki in Winnipeg, and the song is by John Fitzpatrick. These are just wonderful. Just wonderful. Nigel, you want to speak to an issue here?
Oh, yes. Tonight at around 7:30, Gretchen Wu is...
The great Gretchen Wu
is going to be in town, and she and I will be having drinks here at Chatter.
At Chatter.
Gretchen Wu appearance at Chatter.
Gretchen Wu at Chatter at the corner of Wisconsin Avenue. and Jennifer Streets Northwest.
Yes, so I believe the Caps game will be on in the background.
Absolutely.
So come on by, watch some hockey, have some drinks with us. We'd love to see
you. The Nats game would have been on, but they don't play today.
They don't play today. They play tomorrow. Yes.
Let me thank Ann Hornaday for coming on the show. Let me thank today's sponsors, Brooklinen and SeatGeek. Remember to listen and subscribe to new and archived episodes of The Tony Kornheiser Show wherever you listen to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Play. If you listen to the show through iTunes, please leave a review. From Mike Butler in Hurricane, Utah. What an interesting name. Last Wednesday, I had total knee replacement surgery. My main mode of transportation is now a walker that I have named Bootsy. I notified Michael via the Twitter, and he retweeted the pictures, whatever that means. I think that means he gave me the TK salute. Needless to say, I'm getting around slow, but may still beat a certain player or two on the Nats. Thanks for all the laughs and the daily show that your joy provides me. And the hashtag is RollWithBootsy. From Matt Baer in Charlotte, North Carolina. Of course, there's a Spanish version of the podcast. Just tune in to News Channel Ocho for details. From Cindy Johnson. In order to make the Monopoly game pieces easier to deal with, take your game board and make a list of all the game pieces that you need. I have that. When opening the hundreds of game pieces sent to you by Laura Littles, you will only have to look for numbers you need game pieces. I understand that. It doesn't make the sorting any easier. I have to go through all of them.
Got to get through all of them.
She says this makes the sorting much easier. No. Work smarter,
listen,
not harder.
Listen to how put upon I he do this is by you people trying to make him a millionaire.
Maybe Michael can help.
I would add parenthetically.
Creating your needed game pieces list. I have that, but I think he enjoys you being kept busy by sorting through all the game pieces. I wish you luck. I hope you win or I win. Thanks for all the hours of entertainment, and as always, do wear white. She says, I'm the co-host of the Fix It Home Improvement Podcast, and we have episodes that might help you with your gardening and deer problems. Maybe you or Michael should listen to get some useful tips on having a successful tomato growing season this year. Well, we should, Cindy Johnson.
Our tomatoes are looking good
Cindy
right now.
Cindy Johnson, J-O-H-N-S-S-O-N. Johnson. Jetson. Johnson. All right. Dylan Potter in Nashville. While sitting at the hotel bar in Maryville, Tennessee, I overheard a younger man beside me say he was born and raised in New York and that he attended Binghamton University. Hearing this grabbed my attention without thinking. I said, Binghamton, home of the Dr. By Lee Court. The gentleman turned and asked if I attended Binghamton. I said, no, I went to Middle Tennessee State, but I'm familiar with Binghamton. The man just stared at me confused as I walked away. I don't know what was more embarrassing, getting looked at like I was an idiot by a complete stranger, or my seemingly natural reaction to blurt out, home of the Dr. By Lee Court, when hearing someone mention Binghamton at a random hotel bar in Tennessee. Either way, love the show and Edith Saliza. Chad Shern from Euless, E-U-L-E-S-S, Texas?
Yeah, Euless. Euless, that's Texas. Right. Yes, yep.
Yeah, that's right, because you're a relative.
Yes, Euless.
If Belichick is Belichickian, then Sarkeesian is Sarkeesian. That's what it
Very
is.
Very good.
Yes, it is,
yes. Bill Keister or Bill Keister, K-E-I-S-T-E-R. You wouldn't say Keister, would you, Bill Keister? From Kensington. It cannot be overstated how obnoxious I find Luke Russert. When he is on the show, I hate listen, and then I share my annoyance with my fellow Little John from Rockville. But after listening to his rant about the Washington Wizards on Wednesday, I realized that despite my disgust with him, if he and I met at the Chatter Bar during a Wizards game, which undoubtedly would be great because every night is great at Chatter, we might become best friends. Our friendship would bloom because his take on the Wizards could not be more right. Blow them up. Napalm may not burn hot enough to eradicate the underlying Le Boulet infection that has contaminated this franchise for 40 years since their first and only championship. They have toyed with us and given us hope on occasion, but I am done. Ernie and half the roster need to be shipped out tomorrow. To save money, they can get a bus and fill the other seats with Trotsky and the Caps roster. Burn it all down. Wow, Luke has made a friend.
Like that.
From Tim Herring in Melbourne, Australia, the woman to whom I'm related by marriage and I were sitting down to eat lunch and I had my David Aldrich moment. We were watching a recording of the Jim Jefferies show and I heard a familiar voice. And I say, I know that voice. It was Chris Saliza sitting with a few media people and Jim Jefferies. I didn't recognize him since he wasn't drinking Malibu or wearing a tuxedo shirt. It made my day and my wife thinks I'm an idiot. Do you remember this?
Yeah, Jim Jefferies. We taped it at the end of last year and they ran it relatively recently. Great guy. Very funny. Comedian. Sort of like Nigel.
Sort of.
From Cheve in Somerville, Massachusetts. Dr. Hoff Waff. Do ties grow up to be ascots? No. If you're out on your bike tonight, everyone, as always, do wear white.
Thank you.
You know what ought to happen to them?
No.
They ought to be stabbed by cocktail forks.
Right. Oh, my. Oh, my.
whatever that means. New approach, a new verse to find. Make it 3 a month instead of whatever it be. Having all the time in the world to make this work. Whatever that means. Sing a song or something now. And sing it loud and proud and true. And make it mean something to you. Sing it loud and proud and true. Yes, I need something to change. Maybe add just one or two. And I wish it was as easy as that. It would have happened long.